May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Amen. So a verse from that gospel that we heard a few minutes ago, Luke chapter 14, verse 11, Jesus said this. He said, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Yeah. Thomas Merton, remember him, Thomas Merton, the well-known Trappist monk. He once said something really quite funny, but also quite tragic. Listen to this from Thomas Merton. He said, "People may spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success, only to find, once they reach the top, that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall." Yeah? It can happen. Well, today's gospel is all about those ladders and those walls. But first, a little background for you. The action, as you heard in today's gospel, takes place at a meal. A meal. Jesus is at a meal. He's dining in the house of one of the Pharisees. And the thing to remember, of course, is that meals in the first century were not just social occasions, they were also social signifiers. Meals were not just about satisfying your hunger, they were also about marking your place in the hierarchy, in the social hierarchy. Meals were organized rather like rungs on a ladder. Meals were organized in a strict order, with the most important guests sitting up front near the host, and those considered less important sitting down the back of the room on their own. What's more, meals could give you an opportunity, if you were clever, meals could give you an opportunity to move up the ladder a little bit, to move up a rung or two on the social ladder. If you threw a lavish enough party and meal and invited lavish enough guests, then who knows, maybe in turn, you would be invited to some posh do's and maybe even be given a seat of honor. So with that background in mind, it's easy, I think, to read the first part of the gospel as a piece of homespun wisdom from Jesus. Yeah, to read it simply as a piece of advice from Jesus to eager social climbers about how to make their way up the greasy pole of society and success and prestige. Be humble, says Jesus. Sit at the back. Sit at the back. Sit near the door. Sit in a lowly place, because maybe the host will see you, and maybe the host will be so impressed by your evident humility that he will bring you up to the front. Humble yourself, and maybe you'll be exalted. But conversely, says Jesus, on the other hand, whatever you do, don't go straight to the top table. Don't go straight to the top table. That's a very dangerous strategy, very high-risk strategy. It might work. You might be allowed to stay at the top table, but there's always the danger that you'll be moved. Yeah? You'll be moved, and then you'll be covered in shame. Shame and disgrace. Covered in shame in front of your hosts, covered in shame in front of the other guests. Dreadful. So don't do that, says Jesus. Better be humble. Better be lowly. Better be modest. As I say, it's easy to read that first part as some sort of first century version of how to win friends and influence people. It's easy to see it as just a bit of worldly advice. Yeah, for worldly success. But that wasn't Jesus' agenda. Worldly success, now was it? Jesus didn't come to teach us the 10 steps to successful social climbing, did he? No. On the contrary, Jesus challenged our accepted ways of doing things. Jesus challenged our very notions of what success looks like. Jesus turned on their head, as you know, many of our social conventions. In fact, we see that challenge here, don't we, in this gospel reading. It's there right at the end. Because right at the end, Jesus pulls the rug. He pulls the rug from under the system as it operates. And still operates. He says to his hearers, he says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner or a party, don't invite your friends, don't invite your family, your rich friends, because they might repay you. Instead, when you give a party, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame, the blind, because they can never repay you. In other words, watch out that your generosity, your hospitality, that these things are not done in order to win other people's admiration or simply to get some benefit in return. No, no. Let your generosity be for its own sake. Let it be for its own sake. Let your hospitality have no other aim than the desire to share the good things you have with other people. In fact, if anything, says Jesus, use what you have to reach out to those who can never help you. Use what you have to reach out to those who are not in a position to give you a leg up the greasy pole of success. Yes, Jesus once again pulls the rug from under our self-serving strategies. So to go back to Thomas Merton and his ladders leaning against the wrong walls, I hope it's becoming clear that the ladder Jesus is inviting us to step onto is not the ladder to worldly success. No, the ladder we're being invited to step onto is, you might say, the stairway to heaven. Yeah? The ascent, the climb we're being invited to take is the climb into closer relationship with God and closer relationship with other people. And that growth towards God, towards other people, comes in a paradoxical way. Those who are humble will be exalted. Those who are exalted will be humbled. Which is to say that our growth in holiness comes from humility, comes from thinking of others, comes from resting in the assurance of God's love for us. It's not, by the way, and it's really, 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 really important to say this. It's not, by the way, please don't hear this call to humility as a call to humiliation. Yeah. Please don't hear this call to be humble as a call to abase ourselves. It's not a call to have such a low opinion of ourselves that we allow others walk all over us. That's not what being humble is about. True Christian humility is very different. C.S. Lewis, remember him, great writer, he put it brilliantly. He said this, humility is thinking less about yourself, not thinking less of yourself. That's worth repeating. Humility is thinking less about yourself, not thinking less of yourself. Let me give you an example of what that might mean in practice, in ordinary everyday life. I read again recently one of Rowan Williams' books about discipleship, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. And in the book he writes about his great respect and his great love for Archbishop Desmond Tutu and how they've become good friends. Desmond Tutu, the great hero of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. But then Rowan says something about Desmond Tutu and humility, which is a little bit shocking, but I think has something very true in it. Listen to what Rowan Williams says about Desmond Tutu. "I've a theory," he says, "which I started putting together after I had met Desmond Tutu a few times. My theory is that there are two kinds of egotists in the world. Two kinds of egotists. On the one hand, there are the egotists that are so in love with themselves that they have no room for anybody else. But on the other hand, there are the egotists that are so in love with themselves that they make it possible for everybody else to be in love with themselves too. These people are at home in their skins. Doesn't mean they're arrogant or self-obsessed or think they are faultless. No, what it means is that they have learned to sense some of the joy that God takes in them. And in that sense, Desmond Tutu manifestly loves being Desmond Tutu. There's no doubt about that. But the effect of that is not to make me feel frozen or shrunk. It makes me feel that just possibly, by God's grace, I could one day love being Rowan Williams in the way Desmond Tutu loves being Desmond Tutu. Isn't that wonderful? I think he's right. And that, I think, is a really good definition of healthy Christian humility. To be humble is to sense some of the great joy that God takes in us. Because you know what? When you sense some of that great joy that God takes in you, amazing things can happen. When you sense some of that great joy that God takes in you, then, for example, you can give up. You can give up the exhausting work of trying to constantly win other people's approval. You can give up the deadly habit of beating yourself up all the time. You can give up the destructive behavior of building yourself up by putting other people down. You can give up fretting about your status and your standing and your worldly success. Instead, when we sense some of the great joy that God takes in us, we can rest in the assurance that there's one banquet, one great wedding feast, and we're all invited to the top table. All of us. Jesus said, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." In Jesus' name, Amen.